Hello everyone, my name is Reeves and welcome to another edition of In the Know.
Tony Reeves, fire. Following the news in any way, shape, or form. No shortage of things to talk about.
Just remember, if you have Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, all you have to do is type in at my name is Reeves, and you can find me on all the social media platforms.
Tony Reeves, let's go ahead and get started.
Welcome everyone to another edition of Reeves Point of View. For those of you who may not be following, Delta Airlines plans to start charging its employees $200 per month for any unvaccinated employee. Now let me be the first to tell you, as soon as I heard this, I just knew this was gonna probably be a problem, but for a couple of different reasons. You gotta think of it from two perspectives. First, you gotta think about it from the employer. From Delta's point of view, they probably are looking at this as a legitimate business purpose for what they're doing. One, it's costing roughly about $40,000, I believe, in terms of hospitalizations if you get COVID-19. So they're thinking about that. They're also probably thinking in light of the fact that they don't want to fall into that category of having to mandate their employees to quote unquote, get the vaccine. But at the same instance, they have to keep in mind the fact that they have to look out for the fact that not only their other the employees in terms of the hospitalizations, but also whether or not this is potentially going to impact customers getting on planes. But then you have to think about it from the employee standpoint as well. For an employee, you have to wonder, is this a situation where they are penalizing us for not getting the vaccine? So how is doing this not a mandate, but just done in reverse? Another point that I thought was very interesting was this point as well. Sabrina Corlett, co-director of the Center of Health Insurance Reforms at Georgetown University, stated, "I'm worried that making an exception for COVID or someone's vaccine status starts us down a slippery slope." So you now have to ask yourself, well, how is this any different? Does that mean we're going to be in a situation where an employer can penalize you for not getting a flu shot? Now, it's way too early to know how this thing is going to play out. But as someone who used to practice law, I already know what's going to happen. Somebody is going to sue. Somebody's going to look at their insurance policy, or they're going to look at their employment arrangement, and they're going to ask themselves, is there a venue, whether it be arbitration, local court, or even a class action, and say, okay, I want to fight this because I don't think this is fair. It's going to play out like this. It's not going to be sexy. It's not a surprise that we now find ourselves in this very unique situation, which is probably going to get worse as time goes on. Hey, if you want to hear my point of view on other topics, make sure you hit me up at my name is Reeves at Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and make sure you let me know what you'd like me to talk about. Welcome, everybody. We are back again for another edition of Easy, but Not So Easy. Today, we're going to talk about providing professional advice to your elders. So when you're in a position as you get a little older and you start becoming more established in your career, the people who raised you or were around you when you were growing up may reach out to you to utilize your skill sets to help them in a variety of different matters. And the easy part is that you have three scenarios that tend to present themselves. One, they are genuinely proud of the things that you've done. Remember, these are the same people who remember when you were struggling in elementary school all the way through college or whatever profession you went through, to now know you're at a point in your career that you can provide them definitive guidance. That is something that they are extremely proud of. But one of the other parts that is great especially is that they may be less inclined to want to reach out to bother you because they recognize that you are a person who has achieved a certain measure of success. And they are so excited again at that, but they don't want to burden you by asking you to help them with their issues. So that is something where you may have to actually pull that out of them to say, listen, I'm here for you if you need me, because they don't want to feel like they're a burden on you. And then you should be amazed because of the fact that they're going to look at you and say, man, I can't believe how smart you are. That's not saying that they're thinking you're dumb. What that means is they're recognizing that you are doing something in an arena or a venue that just completely escapes them. So they are so excited that you are doing something above and beyond what they think they're capable of doing. They really appreciate how smart you are. Now that is the easy part. Now let's talk about the not so easy part. First thing you need to be mindful of the fact is be prepared for them not to listen. And I know this is not going to sound nice, but this is a harsh reality. When you're in a situation where you're dealing with someone who literally has been providing you guidance for the longest, sometimes when the roles reverse, it's not that they don't believe you, it's just that they have a history with you. Therefore, they're more inclined to start tuning out things that you're saying, even though you're giving them feedback that they're looking for. And I can tell you, sometimes that can get a little off-putting because when you're sitting there trying to provide guidance to assist them, the last thing you want to do is be in a situation where you're providing them feedback and they're not listening. And one of the things that I used to say when I used to practice law is that I'm always amazed that the people, strangers listen to what I'm saying, but sometimes loved ones don't. It's as if, whatever reason, there's this filter that they have in their mind that they're only going to take certain portions of what you're saying, but not the entire part. So keep the thought that they may not necessarily be listening to what you're telling them, which then lends to the possibility that they may think they know more than you. And this is one that can be very frustrating because if they're coming to you asking you for guidance and so forth, and they've already got a preconceived idea of what they think is best, even if you tell them, no, that's not the case, you may run into this pitfall where you're sitting here trying to educate them about something, and for whatever reason, they have dug it in the deep dark crevices of their mind that they're not trying to hear what you're trying to say because they think they know a little bit better than you. Now, I can tell you, that can really make you not want to say anything because in your mind, you're telling yourself, if I'm giving you feedback about what you're asking about and you're not listening, there are people who pay me for what I do. I can just direct that energy to them and not to you. But just keep in mind when you're dealing with an elder that there may be a possibility that because they may feel because they've been around a little bit longer, maybe they've been involved a little bit longer, that even though you may have greater expertise in that area, they may feel that because they're older than you, they may think they know better than you, which lends itself to the last point. Role plays in terms of your role in relating to them. Think about it. If this is someone who was a babysitter to you, who used to give you mentorship when you were in high school about what do you want to do for the future, they have always seen themselves in a role as kind of being the mentor, mentee, big brother, big sister type of environment where they've constantly been there to provide you feedback and guidance along the way. So having the roles reverse, where you are now in this unique position where you are providing them guidance, they may feel this natural inclination to not fully appreciate the fact that you are in that position. So what happens is that you find yourself dealing with someone who is so ingrained into thinking that they know best and that they're not really listening because they look at your roles and don't realize that your roles have now reversed. Helping a loved one is a great thing, or helping somebody who's older than you, who's been there for you when you were growing up, is always a rite of passage for a lot of us. Just know that there may be some pitfalls on both sides that where you may be able to help them in some capacities, you may have to deal with some preconceptions and some, you know, psychological barriers along the way to be able to provide the assistance that they need. Hey everyone, this is a Reeves Reflection. For those of you who haven't had the opportunity, check out my video or my podcast that I did where I interviewed my mom as a part of my Living with Jim Crow series. Part of the reason why I did that is because I wanted to get a full appreciation of what it was like for her growing up in a period of time that I cannot specifically relate to. Like in my hometown of Pine Bluff, Arkansas, my mother went to Southeast High School, which at the time was an integrated all-black high school. The school is still there, but by the time I got there, it had been converted to a junior high and it was now integrated. My mom, when she went to the movies in her younger years, she had to go through a side entrance and go to the balcony in order to watch movies. Me, I got the opportunity to go through the front door and enjoy the experience in an integrated capacity. The reason I share these different things is because my mother is a living embodiment and a living reminder to me that I am in a much better place. As she so eloquently said in my video and as well as my interview and podcast was that my generation has the ability to speak freely in a manner more free than her generation could. As such, I have a great appreciation of the reality that there were things that my mom went through that I don't and I didn't have to go through. And trust, when I was growing up, whether it be watching a movie like Roots, documentary like Eyes on the Prize, or looking at publications like Jet or Ebony, I had plenty of reminders along the way of how we were evolving as a society. But I was also reminded of the importance of continuing to advance and move forward to get those things that we continue to fight for. So when somebody comes up to me and says to me, why can't we hear more people kind of acknowledging the great things that we've done in terms of the progress? My first response to them is politely, I don't want you to take this the wrong way. I don't need you to tell me that I should say this out loud. I have a living 50 plus years of experience of knowing what that's like. But I also have a great appreciation of recognizing there's so much more to be done. So don't take my lack of saying we've moved forward as an indication that I don't know we have. Trust me, I already know. I also just know that we have more things to do.
Hey everyone, if you enjoy the content, please hit the subscribe button down below.